Morning, everyone. Wishing everyone a very easy fast today. Tanis Esther. Today is Daf Ches Menachos. We're going to start back a little bit on Daf Zion. First topic of today is going to be Kamitza from a kli that's on the ground. I mentioned yesterday, I made an analogy. It's not the Gemara doesn't do it, but it sounds right. It makes sense. It's fine. It's okay. We gotta go. I'm already in the hole, as they say. I made the analogy yesterday that when you do a shechita, so the animal's on the ground. So, you know, in our analogy between Zvachim and Menachos, so you start off with an animal that's on the floor, and so you don't pick the animal up, but you leave the animal on the floor. And then, once you shech the animal, now you're accepting the blood, you're being Mekabel Adam, so you're being Mekabel Adam, you're holding the kli. Okay, so in a similar analogy, so when we talk about mincha, there are two parts of the kometz. Number one is the actual kemitza. In other words, taking your fist, putting it into the bowl, and taking flour. And then the next step is to put it into another kli. You have to be mekadesh the kometz. You take the kometz and you put it into another kli. So essentially what the Gemara is going to end up on, the place where the Gemara is going to land, is that the bowl that you have to do the kemitza from can be on the floor. The bowl that you do the kemitza to has to be in the air. So it's a nice analogy, it's a nice parallel. The Gemara doesn't make this point, but it's pretty much where the Gemara is going to end up. We're still a little bit away from getting to the Gemara's conclusion. We're on Zayin Amud Aleph. We are towards the bottom of the page. So the Gemara made a comment. One of the last things we said yesterday is, you know, if all this is true, you're going to need three Kohanim to do Kemitza. Because remember, Avodah has to be done with the right hand. All Avodahs have to be done with the right hand. And so there are two bowls involved, right? And you need another, and each bowl has to be held in the right hand, otherwise it's not an Avodah. And you have the Kohen actually doing the Kemitza. Well, if the other two Kohanim are holding the bowl, this Kohen is, you know, needs a free hand and a free right hand in order to do the Kemitza. So pretty much what we ended off with yesterday is you're going to need three Kohanim to do the Avodah of Kometz HaMincha. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, so be it. So Gemara says, look, sometimes you have as many as 13 Kohanim being involved in one particular Avodah daily. Every time you bring the limbs of the carbon Olas Tamid up to the Mizbeach, so you have 13 Kohanim involved. So the Gemara says, okay, good, so you bring more Kohanim. That doesn't bother me. Eisvei, we're in the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara, we'll pick it up over here. The Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you. Zeh klal, kol hakometz venosim bekli amolch v'amakta lechol davar shedak lechol v'chulei. So the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah. We're going to get to this Mishnah later on. It's pigel by a carbon mincha. However, ilu magbia lo ketani. So the Gemara says, you'll notice that in that Mishnah, which I really didn't explain well, but we'll get to that Mishnah in just a moment. But the point right now is that it doesn't say the word magbia. So you see, you don't have to pick up the kli. So the Gemara says, tana seder avos, not kivelo seder kohan. So the Gemara says, look, don't look at that Mishnah for any type of proof. That Mishnah over there is talking about seder avodah. It's not talking from the perspective of Kohen. It's talking from the perspective of what avoda needs to be done. So leave that Mishnah out of the discussion. Okay, back to the same discussion. Can I do kemitza from a kli that's on the ground? This is from. So he says, why don't we take a look and see what's done inside? Right? In other words, let's take a walk into the Heichal. They're not taking a physical walk into the Heichal. These are Amoraim talking. We're well after the Chorban HaMikdash. But you know what they mean. In other words, let's analyze what's done inside the Heichal. And we're going to talk now about the Lechem Apanim. A lot of talk today about the Lechem Apanim. Every week on Friday, they would bake 12 loaves of bread. Right? We call them bread. They're really matzah. It's not chametz. It's matzah. But it's soft matzah. So like it used to be done, like it should be done, but you know, we don't know how to make matzah, so therefore we burn it to a crisp. So there, and it was a tefach thick, it was 4 inches thick. So yeah, it was one of the reasons why we wait for Mashiach. So the Mishnah over here is going to describe the changing of the loaves. Right, so what happens is you bake it on Friday, and then on Shabbos, you can't bake it on Shabbos, so what you're going to do is you're going to do a transfer. So you're going to take the loaves of bread, the 12 loaves of bread that have been sitting on the Shulchan for a full week from last Shabbos, and you're going to replace it with the new loaves of bread for this week. What happens with the 12 loaves that you take off the table? They're eaten by the Kohanim. Kohanim get to eat the 12 loaves of bread. six of the loaves are given to last week's Mishmar, six of the loaves are given to the upcoming this week's Mishmar. Okay, fine. The Mishnah over here just does a simple description of how this process was done. Arba kohanim nechnasim. So four kohanim would have to go in. Okay, going into the Hechal. Nechnasim shnayim biyadam, base sedarim v'shnayim biyadam, shnei bazichin. And two of them would be holding the bread, and two of them would be holding the bazichin. Now, in the lechem aponim, there are also two spoons. I don't know how else to describe it, just simple spoons. In these spoons you had frankincense, lavona. These spoons were placed on the top of each of the six loaves of bread. Six loaves of bread were one on top of the other. The shulchan was prepared in a way where you could basically stack one on top of the other. So you have six loaves over here, you have six loaves over here. On the top of each of the loaves, you have one spoonful of frankincense, which means there you have two. So the Gemara says that four kohanim would go in. So shnayim biyadam beis sedarim. So each one of them, two of the four kohanim would be holding the loaves of bread. Shnayim biyadam shnei bezichin. Two of them would be holding the bezichin. Each one would be holding in the right hand. V'abar matim lefneim shnayim litol shnei sedarim ubeis litol beis bezichin. Another four kohanim. So here you have a total of eight kohanim, and they would be taking out the old bread. So now you have four kohanim coming in to take out the old bread. The old bread and last week's two spoonfuls of bezichin. Okay, that's a Mishnah. Good. The ilu magbia es hashochan lo ketani. So the Gemara says, now you'll notice that of the things mentioned over here, it doesn't say you got to lift the table. Now, when we talk about the lechem aponim, I'm going to say this a lot over the course of Menachos, so just get used to this type of thinking. When we're talking about the lechem aponim is a mincha. Right, in my introduction, you should know we talked about generalities about all the different types of menachos. I failed to mention lechem aponim, and one of my crack research team members after the daf said, "You know, you didn't mention lechem aponim." And it's funny, I don't think of the lechem aponim as a mincha, but it is. It is a carbon mincha. It's not traditional, meaning there's no kometz. We don't do the kmitza. We don't put our hand into the lechem aponim, take it out. So you're right. So I am somewhat defended in not thinking about it, but I didn't think about it. But it is. What part is the kometz? So the thinking that we have to just adjust ourselves to is that it's the lavona. The lavona is the kometz. So in other words, it's a different type of kometz, but it is. So in other words, what we do is we take those two spoonfuls of lavona. What's going to happen to them is they're going to be taken, put on the top of the mizbech, and burnt on the top of the mizbech. Not the spoons themselves, just the content of the spoons. So that's the quote-unquote act of kemitza. So the Gemara now is making the following diuk. What you see over here is that when I'm doing the quote-unquote kemitza, when I take the lavona from last week's lechem aponim, I don't have to lift the table. It could be on the floor. It could be based on the floor. And the Gemara makes exactly this deal. Lav amart hasam seder avodas nakat, hachanami seder avodas. I'm sorry, that's already a defense. But you see that the table doesn't have to be on the floor. The table doesn't have to be lifted from the floor. Thank you.
The panel's not lifted from the floor either.
Correct.
When they take it off, just like the queen takes the blood, they take.
Right.
What's the act of kemitza?
It's the act of kemitza is shechita.
No, I'm saying the spoons. It's the lifting of the spoons.
Right.
So
right.
That's
right. So that's exactly the Gemara's point. But the table and the bread themselves don't have to be lifted. So the Gemara says, Lava Marit Hasam Seder Avodas Naka. So the Gemara says, okay, we didn't mention the lifting of the table, but you know, we just quoted another Mishnah, and your retort to that previous Mishnah was, well, we're not going through all the procedure. The Gemara says, Hachanami Seder Avodas Naka. Over here, it's just the Avoda, but not every aspect of it. So the Gemara says, you can't say that over here. Me, dummy. Over here, it's harder to say it. Because over here, we actually are pointing to the number of kohanim that are going in. Meaning over here, it is more procedural in the way the Mishnah is describing it. We're talking about four kohanim coming in, four kohanim in front of them, each one of them holding the two loaves of bread. So you can't just simply tell me, well, the Mishnah is just talking about the avoda. No, the Mishnah here is giving us a procedure. It's actually a step-by-step process. If part of the process was to lift the table, the Mishnah would have mentioned it. So the Gemara says it seems to be pretty conclusive that Gemara says it. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, when you do the kamitza, the kli that you do the kamitza from doesn't have to be lifted off the ground. It could be stationary. It could be on the floor. I'm a Rava. So now Rava is going to take this and go with it. And here's the conclusion. Pshita li, it's obvious to me. Komitz miklisha agave karka shekei matzina b'silka b'zichin. Look, I don't even have a question. It's so obvious that when I do the kamitza from a mincha, from the kli, so it doesn't have to be in the air. It could be on the ground. Look, where do I see this? I see this by the lechem aponim, right? Because the kometz over there is taking the 2 spoonfuls of the lavona. That is the kamitza. There's no requirement to lift the table up. So it's clear that when I do kamitza, it can be on the ground. However, makdisha mincha b'klisha agabe karka shekem etzina b'sir mazikhen. What did I just do? Shekem etzina b'sir mazikhen. Makdisha mincha b'klisha agabe karka shekem etzina b'sir mazikhen. Right? Sorry. Ba'i rava kiddush kometz mai. But what about the second part? When I mekadesh the kometz. I told you, by the kemitza, there are 2 parts. The act of kemitza, taking it out, and then putting it into another kli. And Rava says, here's where I'm not sure. When I put it into another kli, can that kli be on the ground, or do I have to hold it up in the air? So the Gemara says, "Mimincha yalfina, no mi dam yalfina." So the Gemara says, "So where do I learn it from?" So hadar pashta. So after asking the question, he says, "Mi dam yalfina lo." We learn it from blood. What do we know by blood? We know that when you do the kabbalas hadam, the kli has to be in your hand. Not on the ground. So when you do the kiddush hakometz, the sanctification of the kometz, that's like kabbalah sadam. Therefore, the kli has to be in the air. Okay, and this is again the Gemara is going to go on more about this, but this is essentially Rava's conclusion. So we are basically now at the point where when you do kamitza, so there's a difference where I do the kamitza from to when I put the kometz actually in. Where I do it from can be on the ground. What I do it in can even be in the air. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So the Gemara says, Rava, you learn things from Dam. I'm going to challenge you on that. Because I've heard you say that if you take the Kometz and you divide it into 2 different Kalim, so you say that that's fine. You say that that's Kadosh. However, What if I were to do that by blood? What if I were to take the blood of an animal and to divide it into 2 kalim? Now, remember in Zvachim we talked about the twin cups. We talked about the twin cups a couple of times. And we were okay with it. However, over here it's a little bit different. Because we're not talking about putting a full shear into one cup and a full shear into another cup. That's totally fine. We're talking about taking 1 shear of blood, I'll explain what a shear is in just a moment, and dividing it into 2 separate cups. That's not okay. The Gemara says, V'imitza le'elef midam. So the Gemara says, why doesn't Rava learn out from blood? By blood, if I were to take the blood, which is only a 1 shear amount of blood, and to divide it into 2 cups, that's not okay. So the Gemara says, Rava, why don't you say the same thing by mincha? Hadabe Rava me'ahi. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Rava recanted. Rava says, you know, you're right. The point is so good, so well taken, I take it back. By the case of the comets, if I divide into 2 kalim, it's no good. V'dami nalan delo kadosh ha-chatzayin, and now the Gemara is going to take us through a tangent, which we actually did, I'd say about 4 weeks ago back in Zvachim. Did ni Rav Tachlifa bar Shal, kiddush pachas michdeh azah b'chli zeh, pachas michdeh azah b'chli zeh, lo kiddush. If I take blood and I divide it into 2 kalim, so that each kli does not have enough for sprinkling, so then it's no good. Now, if it's a regular carbon chatas, I only need 4 sprinklings. If it's a chatas hapnimi, if it's one of the chatas that need to be brought into the heichal, so remember, it's 7 against the curtain, 4 onto the inner mizbeach, 11 sprinklings, each cup, or 1 cup, I should say, has to have enough for that. If not, even if it was divided between 2 kalim, it's no good. V'ibay lehu, b'da mai. Hilchasa hi, o mi hilchasa lo yafinan. And the Gemara says, now, this halacha, that the blood has to be accepted in one cup and cannot be divided into two kelim, is that just simply halacha Moshe Sinai? So the Gemara says, or maybe no, it's generated through a drasha, through a limud. The idmar amar avzuka amar avalaza af bedam lo kidesh. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Elazar teaches us that it doesn't work by blood. It's based on a drasha. Amar avatanya namihach. Rav says this is in fact taught in a braisa. Again, all this should sound familiar. We did this in Zvachim. From here until the bottom of the page, word for word, the same discussion that we had in Zvachim. V'tava v'lo masbig, badam shiye badam shir tefila, mikaro, minadam, minadan shebe'inyan. Three drashas back to back to back, all derived from the words v'taval, badam, minhadam. First of all, v'taval tells us that when I dip my finger in the blood, I have to go into the blood, meaning I have a bowl, I'm dipping my finger in, it's got to go in the blood. I can't just simply wipe my finger on the side of the bowl. It's got to go directly into the blood. That's number one. Badam, what is that? What does it mean? Badam, into the blood, meaning the blood has to be one unit. There has to be enough in the bowl that would allow me to sprinkle as many times as I need to sprinkle. Again, depending on which carbon it is. And then min hadam, what is that coming to teach me? Min hadam shebe'inyan. Somewhat of an obscure expression over here, from the blood of the subject matter. What does that mean? Stay tuned. We're going to explain the third halach in just a moment. As far as the first two drushas are concerned, they're necessary. Why? Because v'taval just simply tells me to stick my finger directly into the blood. Doesn't tell me that I need a shear, right? Mi'ikaru, kaza rachmana badam. That's why I need the pasuk of badam. Because rachmana badam hava minafilo masfig, kaza rachmana v'taval. And if I only had the pasuk of badam, that tells me shear. It doesn't tell me that I can't just simply wipe my finger on this side of the bowl. So I need both halachas. In other words, they're simply mutually excluded. They're not necessarily connected. So I need both of those drushas. Now let's go over that third drasha. Min hadam shebe'inyan lema'ute mai amarava lema'ute shiraim shebe'etzpa. A halacha that we spent some time learning about in Zvachim. When I do a sprinkling with the blood, whatever's left on my finger, that's shiraim. That's no good. Okay? So what I'm going to have to do, the Gemara is going to explain procedure in just a moment, is I'm going to have to clean my finger and dip again and spritz again. Okay? That's the dam shebe'inyan. The Gemara says, we're only going to be here for a little bit of time. This is such a far tangent from where we are in terms of comets, but we're here. The Gemara is going to explicate all this. Shiraim sheba etzba psulim, the leftover blood in your fingers, puzzle. So amalei ravam barav adal ravam amri tamidecha amar rav amram tanya hayamaze v'nidza hazam yado. If you sprinkle and nidza hazam yado, and blood got a little bit on the clothing after it was sprinkled from your hand, so im achalo hiza tan kibus mishi hiza in tan kibus. Remember back in the Gemara in Zvachim, we talked about the special halacha of kibus, of laundering your clothing, if blood gets on your clothing, but that's only blood that was roi, that's fit to be sprinkled. So the Braisa makes a distinction between before and after sprinkling. My love, achalo gamar azaso mishi gamar azaso shma minashiraim shebeetza ksherim. This, it sounds like from the Braisa, you could interpret the Braisa to mean that as long as you get blood on your shirt before the end of the sprinkling, meaning even if it came off your finger post-sprinkling is still blood that needs to be laundered. It sounds like blood on your fingers is kosher. So the Gemara says that's not the pshat. Lo, ashelo yatzam yado hazal tan kibus, umishi yatzam hazam yado v'nitzah mimash nishar. Ain't on kibbutz. No, that's not the pshat. The pshat in the braisa is that before I actually sprinkle with my finger, that blood is ra'ui, that blood requires kibbutz. After the sprinkling, whatever little blood's left on my finger, if that blood got on my shirt, that doesn't have the special halacha of kibbutz. Good. Eisfe abaye. A little bit more about this. So the Gemara again is going to debate whether or not the blood left over on your finger after each sprinkling is pasul. It says, what do you do after the sprinkling? Wipe it on the bowl. That is after the end of all the sprinklings. Gamar in lo, gamar lo. But that means that before the end, you can wipe it on the bowl. So the Gemara says, again, it sounds like that it, as long as you haven't finished all the sprinklings, even the blood on your fingers still fit. So Amar Lei, so he says, no. Gamar mekanech yado lo gamar mekanech etzba'o. So the Gemara says, no. When you get to the very end, so then you can take your whole hand and just simply wipe it on the bowl. Because anyway, this is permanent straf and this bowl is going to get burnt. Bishlam gamar mekanech yada begufa shapar dechsifa sarafa sapar le'inav. Ela lo gamar mekanech etzba b'may mekanech. Gemara now just has this technical question. In between each sprinkling, I'm not going to wipe it on the bowl. Remember back in Zvachim we talked about you can't wipe it on the bowl because your hand's going to get all dirty and hair's going to be on your hand. So you can't wipe it on the bowl, and the blood after each sprinkling is pasul. After each sprinkling, so what do I wipe my hand on? Skip the parentheses. I'm Rabbiye Bisfas Mizrak. Wipe it on the bowl, on the outside part of the bowl, the Kidichsiv Kipure Zahav. The Pasuk in Ezra describes the bowl as being something where you wipe it on. You actually wipe your finger on the bowl. Okay? And I know that was a long tangent, but that was a tangent in terms of blood. The point that we just made is that blood cannot be divided into two kalim. The comets of the mincha cannot be divided into two kalim as well. Period. Okay, we are on the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, and we're in good shape. We're ready to start today's daf. Amar Rabbi Lazar Hachi, v'ha idmar chavite kohen gadol, Rabbi Yochanan ar emar kedushin lechatzayim, Rabbi Lazar mevin toch shekav lechatzayim, kedusha lechatzayim. So the Gemara says, let's take a look at the following. Kohen gadol has to bring a carbon mincha every day. It's called the minchas chavitin. It's one isaron of flour. That what happens is the Kohen Gadol needs to bring the flour. Actually, it's his own personal carbon. It's not a communal carbon, right? In my first day of Menachos, I wasn't 100% sure, but it's not a communal carbon. It's his own personal carbon. He brings of an isaron of flour, and then the Torah says you divide it. Machatzisa ba'boker u'machatzisa ba'aref. Half of that mincha is brought in the morning, half of that mincha is brought in the afternoon. Okay. That's the procedure for the Kohen Gadol. It's called minchas chavitin. Why? Because the pan that it is prepared in is a machavas. It's a thin pan. So the Kohen Gadol's carbon mincha every day that he offers is a thin wafer. Okay, and it's not eaten, right? It's a mincha of a Kohen. All right, so I assume it's not eaten. The discussion over here goes like this. Avai Chavite Kohen Gadol, Rav Yochanan says, Ein a Kedusha Lechatzayin. What if the Kohen Gadol brings only a half of an Isaron and says, you know what? Here, this morning, right? And this afternoon, I'll bring another half. Rav Yochanan says, that doesn't work. That's not how you do it. He's got to bring the full Isaron, says Rav Yochanan, consecrate it, be Makdish it, then divide it so that it's offered half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar says, no. Look, if it's offered in halves, you could be makdish it in halves. Mitoch shekarvach lechatzayim, kedusha lechatzayim. Okay. So here you have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara now is going to come back to the point that I made a little bit earlier. Don't we learn out mincha from blood? The Im Isa, the top of Chesamad Aleph, Leilef Midam. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand. By blood, we know the halacha by blood. Blood cannot be divided. Mm-hmm. Blood has to be one unit. When you put into the kli, it has to be placed in there as one unit. So how can there even be a debate by the Kohen Gadol's carbon? Well, let's be makdish in halves. How can there even be that position when you know by blood you can't do that? And the Gemara spent an entire amud of Zayin Amud Beis saying that we do in fact learn out blood from mincha. So maybe Rav Elazar just doesn't subscribe to this idea that we do comparative karbanos. Meaning I don't learn out dam from mincha. So the Gemara says, but we know Rav Elazar feels otherwise, because Rav Elazar says, if I have a mincha and I do the kamitza in the actual heichal. Okay. Now you remember, just 2 days ago we learned, where do I do the kamitza for a mincha? Anywhere in the Azara I want. We even pointed out, you could be standing in the 11 amos where the Azara is subdivided for, where Yisrael stand. You could be there, and you could do the kamitza there as well. What if I do the kamitza actually in the building? I shouldn't, right? Nobody should be in the heichal. Right? The heichal is really limited. On Yom Kippur, no one's allowed to be in the heichal. Right? Only the Kohen Gadol can be in the heichal. But even if it's not Yom Kippur, generally speaking, people shouldn't be in the heichal. Obviously, you have to go in there to do the menorah, and you want to burn the ketores. But what if a Kohen is in there and does the kamitza in the heichal? So Rav Elazar says it works. It's fine, it works. How do I know that? Shekein matzina b'silik b'zichin. Because there's a kometz that's done in the heichal. What kometz is done in the heichal? Second time today we see this. The silik b'zichin. Taking the two spoonfuls of frankincense from the top of the two loaves of the, from the top of the, each of the stack of six loaves of the lechem upon him. That's the kometz that's done in the heichal. Since that kometz is done in the heichal, so too, if I did another kometz in the heichal, that would work. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? He compares. The Gemara says, yeah, I hear that, but he's comparing one mincha to another mincha. Right? That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to compare the mincha avoda to the blood avoda. Mincha mi mincha yalef. Mincha mi dam lo yalef. Okay. Oh, mincha mi mincha mi yalef. Atanya. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the following? How about the following case? Achelo pirka nifras lachma halachem pasol. The imatir Allah, the ein matir Allah is a bezichin. Mishapirka nifras lachma halachem pasol umatir Allah es a bezichin. This is what? This is a Mishnah? Sorry, I should know this. Okay, whatever it may be. It's a braisa. Okay, whatever it may be. Okay. Huh? Yeah, Vatanya, you're right. I'm sorry, it's a braisa. Okay. The braisa over here discusses the following. The 12 loaves for the lechem upon him, they have to be whole loaves. Mm-hmm. You know, like on Shabbos, you know, you have the right, your shteya lechem, the Mishnah, the lechem Mishnah. So there has to be two whole loaves of bread. You can't be broken. So the 12 loaves of bread have to be whole loaves of bread. And shelo pirka. Before you take it off. Now, it's a difficult Rashi over here. Rashi over here says that the Ashlo Pirka is talking about the actual bread itself. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes, it's an easier pshat, it's a smoother pshat. Shita Mekubetzes says we're talking about the actual Lavona. Okay, the frankincense. Before you take the frankincense off, if some of the bread breaks, that's no good. So the lechem becomes pasul. And you can't be makter the bazichin, and you can't burn the lavona. However, mi shepirka, but if I took the frankincense off already, meaning I did kamitza, right, the kamitza of the lechem upon him, nifras lachma, then the bread breaks, halechem pasul umakter olav es bazichin. You can offer the bazichin. The amar rav alazar, now, on this point over here, Rav Elazar makes the following observation. Lo pirka mamish, ela kevin shehigiyaz mana lefarek. Now, when we say you take off the lavona, you don't even have to actually do it as long as it's higiyaz man. Time to take off the lavona. When is that time? When do we take off the lavona? So the answer is midday on Shabbos. Shabbos is the changing of the guard, more specifically, noon. Noon on Shabbos, that's when we take the lavona away, take the old loaves away, replace it with the new loaves. So Rav Elazar says, as long as you're past noon on Shabbos, it's as if the frankincense has been taken off. Afa pishalo parka, kamisha parka damya. The amai. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, if this was a regular mincha, forget lechem upon him. If this was a regular mincha, you tell me, before I actually take off the kometz, let's say I'm missing some of the lechem upon him. Sorry. I'm missing some of the mincha. Before I take off the comments, is that going to work? No. The Gemara says, Tehave kemincha shechasra karum kemitza. The halacha is that if I have a mincha has to be an isaro. It has to be a full isaro and a flower. If before the kemitza was done, let's say some of the granules were taken away, I can't do comments. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav Elazar, you said that when the world of Menachos, I will do comparisons. I'll compare one mincha to another mincha. In a regular mincha, if prior to doing the kemitza, some of the flour is taken away, I can't do kemitza. In your lechem aponim model, and remember, you do comparisons, in your lechem aponim model, if some of the bread is taken away, even before the lavona is removed, so Rav Elazar says, as long as it's afternoon, it's fine. Literally afternoon. As long as it's afternoon, it's fine. It's because it's as if the bezichin have already been removed. The Gemara says, I understand. Why? You seem to be making a comparison, but they're not equal. They don't connect one with another. So halokashu mincha lo barir bereira komitz didei v'ha barir bereira komitz dida. The kemish yigiyaz man lafari kaman deparka damya. So the Gemara says, look, even though we are going to make the comparison, they're still not exactly the same. In the lechem aponim model, what is the kometz? It's the two spoonfuls of frankincense. Right? So can everyone point to the kometz? Yeah, sure. Because the kometz happens to be something that's not bread. It's not flour. It's two spoonfuls of frankincense. So afternoon, on Shabbos, we can make the argument as if it's already been taken off, because anyone can just simply point to it, identify it, and say, yeah, that's the comments. But in the case of a regular mincha, so where's the comments? What do you mean? The comments is in, it's there in the flour. You don't see it yet. You only see the comments when the Kohen actually takes his hand, puts it in, and takes it out. So yes, it's true, we do comparisons. We compare the halachas of the lechem aponim with regular mincha. We do that. However, at the same time, we can make a distinction between the komets, because the komets of the lechem aponim is something which is so identifiable, it is so self-evident that that's a komets, we could say that afternoon on Shabbos, it's as if the komets has been removed. So the Gemara says, okay, so you want to argue that it's as if I already took the komets off because it's two spoonfuls of frankincense. And then the bread breaks off. I mean, we lose some of the lechem upon him. So, after I do the comments, before I burn the comments, what if I lose some of the flour? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, the mincha's no good. So in our lechem upon him model, yes, you want to tell me that the frankincense is the comments and it's been removed, that's fine. But if bread breaks off before I actually burn it, that shouldn't be good. So the Gemara says, la pluktaninu? The Gemara gives a simple solution to this problem. Rav Elazar will tell you that point is not unilateral. Not everybody agrees to that point. It's subject to a debate. And Rav Elazar takes the position that it's fine. It's not a big deal. As long as the chisaron, as long as you have depleted the shirayim after the kemitza, Rav Elazar will tell you that that's fine. That's not a big deal. Okay. All right, hopefully we're not all lost. The Gemara now, starting from the discussion of taking the kemitza and dividing into two portions, basically gone on to a lengthy discussion of, can I compare minachos to dam? Do I compare a mincha to another mincha? And the issue basically we've been dealing with for the past half an hour is, do I do comparisons in the world of minachos? And do I make a further comparison from mincha to dam? Gufa. The Gemara says, let's take a moment to go back to our mincha of the Kohen Gadol. Chaviti Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, in a Kiddush Lechatzayim, Rabbi Lazamar, Mitoch Shekar Lechatzayim, Kiddush Lechatzayim. Okay, so we have a basic machlokas over here, between Amorayim, whether or not the Kohen Gadol, when he brings his chavit in, can he be makdishit in halves? We all know he's going to offer it in halves. Can he be makdish in half? So Rav Yochanan says no, and Rav Elazar says yes, he can. So I'm Rav Acha, my time to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's position, that's easy. The Pesukim speak to Rav Yochanan's position. Amar Kra, because let's take a look. This week's Parsha. Good. Mincha machatzisa baboker. Hevi mincha v'achar kach chotzehu. In other words, the Torah describes it as a mincha. I told you, a mincha has to be a shir. The shir for a mincha is minimally one isaron. The chavitin mincha, the Kohen Gadol, is one isaron. So you bring a mincha, and the Torah says, machatzisa baboker. You divide it. It really speaks to Rav Yochanan. That first you bring the isaron, you makdish the entire isaron in the kli, and then you divide it.
And you do kmitza first?
You're going to do kmitza.
So once you do kmitza, you're done. You can break it in half.
Correct, but we're not talking about the kmitza, we're talking about how to be makdish it, how to sanctify it. Right? In other words, remember, by any mincha, sanctification means placing it into a kli shareis. What Rav Elazar is arguing is you could do it in halves. You could do that stage in halves. Rav Yochanan says, no, you can't.
You mean two kmitzas, or each one?
I'm not sure. You're right.
It must be one, because it's...
If it's one, how could it be?
Because then it says you do it
after. Right. I hear you. I should know that point. I don't know that point. Meisvei, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you. Chavite kohen gadol lo hayu baos chatzayin ela mevi sarn shalem v'chotzehu. And again, the Braisa over here really screams to Rav Yochanan's position. Rav Braisa says, it couldn't be any clearer, that with the Chavite kohen gadol would not be brought in halves, but ela mevi sarn shalem, you bring the fully saron v'chotzehu, and after that you divide it, really speaks to the position of Rav Yochanan. V'tanya, and another Braisa, right? Ilu ne'amar mincha machatzis. If the Torah would have said minchas machatzis, half a mincha, so then hayisi omer. So then you could say maybe chatzis yisar mi beis shachar is a makriv, and chatzis yisar mi beis arv is a makriv. You could have said that had the Torah used the word terminology of mincha mach. I'm sorry, right? Mincha machatzis. But however, tamalomar machatzisa baboker, half of it. Mech machatzei mishalem who may be. Period. So again, two braises back to back, really speaking to the position of Rav Yochanan, really attacking the position of Rav Elazar. The kipshuto, the two braises kipshuto, and really the pasuk kipshuto is following Rav Yochanan. You start off with a fully saron, you makdish the fully saron, then it gets divided, half of it in the morning, half of it in the afternoon. So the Gemara in defense of Rav Elazar, because really the Rav Elazar's position is a tenable position, but it needs defending. So Rav Elazar, the Gemara defends it with one word, le mitzvah. Well, you could say on behalf of Rav Elazar that, yeah, the right way to do it is a full of saron and then divide it. But if I brought half of it in the morning and makdish half of it, and brought the other half in the afternoon and makdish half of it, it would work. The Gemara says that's a possible defense of Rav Elazar. So Amale Rav Gvil me bekasil Rav Ashi. It's a very tough defense. Va'achuka ksiv ba. We have the word chukah. Chukah is always code for this is how you got to do it. Meaning we have concepts of lichatchil and b'di'evin, even in dinei daraisa. But when the Torah says the word chukah, that means this is not negotiable. This is how you have to do it. So once it says chukah, we can't say lemitzvah. Well, lichatchila, this is the way to do it. But b'di'evin, right? The chukah says no. This is a non-negotiating item. So Gemara gives another defense on behalf of Rav Elazar. You know what it means? It means that when he goes home and he starts his day off from home, so in the morning he's got to bring a fully saron. How he's going to be makdishit? So then it could be that he's going to be makdishit in two halves. Okay. Again, it's a tough defense, but it's Rav Elazar, and his position is a position. And even though the Brises and the Pasuk itself really don't speak to his position.
What act does he do to Makdish it?
Put it in a Kli. Put it in a Kli Sharis. Whenever we say...
This is before
the whole thing. The whole thing goes into a Kli. They actually had measuring cups that measured an Isaron, so you put it into the measuring cup. Doesn't seem to be. You could make the argument that
it has to be the same day.
Same day. I would say that. Libi Omerlein.
Same thing with Shechita. Someone would be Mari's
die. That day. Right, but that for sure we know. That's that day. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi V'ha'idmar Hifrishchatz Yisaron V'da'at Lahosif. So the Gemara says, okay, let's focus for a little bit on Rav Yochanan's position. Rav Yochanan says that when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, so it's the full Isaron. After you place a full Isaron into the Kli Sharis, then it gets divided. But you have to be Matrish a full Isaron. So the Gemara says, on this point over here, let's go over another halacha that's said by Rav Yochanan, which does not seem to coincide. Hifrish Chatzi Isaron. If let's say I take a half of Isaron and Dato Lahosif. Now a half of Isaron is nothing. In the world of Menachos, you need a minimum mincha is a full Isaron. So you only have a half of Isaron, but Dato Lahosif. But in other words, it's just the beginning. I'm going to add more. And I plan on adding more. Rav Amarina Karsha. Rav says at this point in time, it's nothing yet. You don't have a shear. And Rav Yochanan Amar Kadosh. And Rav Yochanan says, no, it's Kadosh. So the Gemara says, now, and I'm a little confused. Because in the world of Chavitin, what did Rav Yochanan say? It's all or nothing. There's no such thing as being Matish half the Minchas Chavitin. V'im Isa Leilaf Mechavitin. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan's position that if I'm Matish half with the intent of adding more, oh, that works. I understand by Chavitin it didn't work. And again, we go back to the discussion, which is really the theme for the whole day. Don't we compare? Aren't we medame one mincha to another? V'chitim, Rav Yochanan milsami milsa lo yalef. Well, maybe Rav Yochanan doesn't subscribe to this basic thinking of I don't compare one to another. The Gemara says, but that's not true. V'ham Rav Yochanan shlamim sheshachtim behechak sheirim. When I have a shlamim, and I shecht in the building, in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, that's not the right place to do it. The right place to do it is in temple courtyard. Now, with a shlamim, you have more latitude. It doesn't have to be in the north, it could be in the south, it could be anywhere in the Azara. But still, the Azara is the place where you need to shecht it. What if I go actually into the Beis HaMikdash itself and shecht in the Heichal? So, Rav Yochanan says, that's fine, it works. Dichsiv eshachtu pesach ol moed. Shaloye tofel chamor me'ikar. Look, when the Torah is telling us to shecht the shlamim, what's the Torah driving at? It's got to see an entrance into the Heichal. Meaning, the Torah is kind of driving to the idea that, like, almost like in theory, we'd like to shecht it in the Heichal. The Heichal's got to see it. Right? Remember, going back to Zvachem, remember we talked about shechting the shlamim like over here. Right? And how can that work? It's not Pesach Ol Moed. And you'll remember back in Zvachem, we learned, well, there's these small little entrances over here. So even when I'm in this area over here, it's still Pesach Ol Moed. But it sounds like what the Torah is kind of driving at is that really, it's all about the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Gemara says, the Gemara has a great expression, Shelo ye tafel chamor me'ikar. The Azara, the courtyard, that's tafel. It's, you know, it's like an accessory. Right? The ikar, the main part, is the Beis HaMikdash. If I shecht the shlamim in the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to work. So what do you see over here? You see that so Rav Yochanan does in fact is medama milsa la milsa. He does make comparisons. So the Gemara says Dato lahosif shani. So the Gemara says okay, but in this case over here, going back to the mincha, going back to being makdish half a mincha with the intent to add. It's different. Why is that different? The tanya because we learned on the brayso maleim ein maleim el shlamim. So, shlamim. Right, a little confusing. When the Nesiim brought in their gifts every day for the first 12 days of inauguration of the new Mishkan, so the Torah in Parshas Naso describes maleim. It was filled. Ein maleim el shlamim. It means it was filled. The Amar Rav Yosi Emosai Bizman Shein Data Lahosif Aval Bizman Shein Data Lahosif Rishon Rishon Kadosh. True, that's only once it's full. But if you're filling it, and your plan is I'm gonna fill it to the top, when does it become Kadosh? Only after it's full, or even while you're filling it? So Rav Yosi says in the Brisa, even while you're filling it. Because as long as you plan to get there, it's going to be kadosh even as it's making its way to the top. Okay. So, fine. So Rav Yochanan's position is defended, even though generally Rav Yochanan is medami, compares one to another. But nevertheless, we see over here that if as long as I'm planning on filling it to the top, Rav Yochanan says it's kadosh. All right, a little bit more for this morning. Rav bechavit and kaman svirle. Now, what did Rav say? Going all the way back to the beginning of today's daf, right? If you have if I'm matish chavitin in increments, so Rav Yochanan says that's no good. Rav says that it'll work. So isvir, I'm sorry, kaman svirle. Ika Rav Elazar leilav mechavitin vechitim a Rav milsa mi milsa lo yalef. Now the Gemara says again, does Rav not do this? Is he not medama? V'ham a Rav mincha kedosha b'lo shemen mincha. Can be sanctified even without oil. Shekei matzina b'lechem upon him, because there's no oil in the lechem upon him below levona. A mincha can be sanctified without levona. Shekei matzina b'minchas nesachim. Nesachim is offered without levona. Below shemen uvelo levona. What if you have neither? That works also. Shekei matzina b'minchas chote. So because the sota, her mincha, no oil and no levona. So you see that Rav subscribes to this basic idea. If we see it one place, it'll work in other places as well. So Akarchach Rav Karav Yochanan Sfirle, Rav agrees to Rav Yochanan. So Akarchach Rav Karav Yochanan Sfirle. So the Gemara says, no. Rav basically subscribes to the thought process of Rav Yochanan. That in terms of the... That when, as long as daito lahosif, as long as you're in contemplating adding more, so it becomes kadosh already from the very onset. Okay, okay, good. Today's daf a lot of digressions here and there. It was not thematically cohesive daf today. Okay, basically our first discussion, which we concluded, the Gemara came to a very solid conclusion. When I do the kamitza, the kli that I do the kamitza from can be on the floor. The kli that I do the kamitza to, that has to be held by the kohen. Okay? So that was issue number one that we tackled. Second issue that we covered today is that when I do the kamitz, I can't divide the kamitza into two kalim. Just like by blood, I can't divide blood into two kalim. I can't divide the kamitz into two kalim. The kamitz has to go into one kli. And that then led to the Gemara's discussion of, can I compare halachas from mincha to zvachim, from one area of menachos to another area of menachos? And the Gemara then just kind of digressed one into another of, can we do this type of comparison one to another? Okay, we'll stop over here tomorrow. Gufa will start in the very bottom of Chesem Ad Aleph. Yeah, generally speaking, for the most of today's daf, it was. You can compare one to another.